I can't be seated.
Good to be here. Christ is risen. Come on now. I thought you were better than Baptist. Now let's try it one more time. Let's lift the roof off. Okay? Let's let those Methodists down the street hear us, okay? Christ is risen. Well, let's go. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm here this morning. I just want to let you know, just before I get into the message, that it's rather interesting. I have a suit on. Now, I do this for two reasons. Number one, because it's Easter, and this is always a special date. But it really started back when I was a little kid. My mother, well, all my family from back to the 1600s grew up in the South. And my mother grew up in Texas. I was born in Texas. And as a little kid, one of the things she taught us to do, when you go to church on Easter, you buy new Easter clothes. How many of you are from the South or been in the South? Oh, there's a couple of you. Some of you are hiding it. You're ashamed. But it's just, and so anyway, just to let you know, so she would buy new clothes for us and we'd all go to church. You know, she'd get our little suits or little nice outfits, and my sisters would have nice little clothes on, and then of course we'd go off to church, and would, you know, and by the way, the women would wear hats. You remember that? I'm going to tell you something, women. You guys look good in hats. The only problem is you can't see the front because other people can't see the front because of you. I just thought I'd let you know that. I would like to read to you something that we see all the time on Christmas and Easter. It's one of those things that we need to recognize as we get into the message this morning. One solitary life. He was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He then became an itinerant preacher. He never held office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the public turned against him. 19 centuries, in this case, 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, but have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, I woke up early this morning, very early, and I remember just you had already resurrected. And as I was thinking about the resurrection this morning, and I just want to tell you, Father, thank you. Thank you for doing it for me and every person here. Your death, you paid the price for our sin. The resurrection is not only for our justification, but the fact that we are your children and we will reign with you. It's an amazing thought. For this I pray in Christ's name, amen. You know, how many of you have ever been in a hopeless situation? I mean, really hopeless. We can say that now. Our country's in a hopeless situation, but I don't want to get into that. Because there are things that are happening to us that are just unbelievably happening. But a hopeless situation, I remember that when I was a youth pastor at a church, and the group was growing, but the Lord led me to another church. But consequently, the youth went on, and there were some college students there, and they were taking care of the youth group, and the youth group would do certain things, and they would go down to the beach from time to time, and they'd had all kinds of activities. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in Oregon, but there's what they call the Devil's Punch Bowl. And you don't want to mess with it. And the youth group, they all got there, and some of the kids that I knew, they all went down as close as they could to get to the Devil's Punch Bowl, and two of them were very, very gutty, and all of a sudden, one of the great big waves came and threw both of them against the wall. One of them got taken out by the tide. And he hit on the other side of the wall. He tried to swim to shore. The other kid, he got down close to the shore and he grabbed his hand and he tried to pull him up, and a wave hit him again and threw him up against the wall, and the other kid drowned. Hopeless. I think all of us have gone through hopeless situations in life. It could be a hopeless marriage. It could be hopeless with your job, losing your job. It could be many, many things. But we've all been hopeless, hard situations. But let's ask the question. There are two things. There, in John 15:22a, the phrase goes something like this. If I had not come. And then later on in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 16, if there is no resurrection. Wow. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Let's ask ourselves, I just read you the solitary life, but what if there was no resurrection? Consider the world without the resurrection. You know, if the resurrection never happened, none of you would even know the name Jesus. Yet, I will tell you, in reality, the world today knows who Jesus is. You're talking about millions and millions and millions of books, even into the billions, have been written about Jesus Christ. There has been no other person that is more well-known than the person of Jesus Christ. John Lennon, back in the 60s, says, oh, we're more popular than Jesus. Well, where are you now, John? But anyway, all I'm saying is we need to recognize. But if Jesus had never come, we wouldn't even know the name. And if he had come and he just died and he never rose, we would never know who he is. So we need to know this, is that no resurrection, what would happen to the fishermen if they say Jesus did come, but he didn't rise from the grave? Well, Peter, James, and John would return to their professions. Levi probably would become a tax collector again. They would have remained in Judaism, and most of Israel at that time would still be looking for the Messiah, which they still are, and little did they realize they missed it. They did not search Scripture. Paul, the great convert, and probably the greatest writer of Scripture of all time, he would have been stuck in Judaism. Now, don't get me wrong, because he was a Jewish person and he understood the resurrection from the Old Testament. And he taught the Scripture about the Bible. The Apostle Paul, I was reading a Jewish writer recently, and one of the interesting things he said, and he was kind of agnostic, but he said, one of the greatest guys that ever wrote is the guy that wrote the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul. It's amazing how he just very well brought that book out. Well, not only as we look at that, we find that if Jesus didn't rise, there would be a lot of things happen. You know, for example, the first thing that would happen is that morality would be based on other religions and all philosophy of life. Think about that for a moment. Jesus elevated our standing before God. He gave us a way of life. We are following a person. We are following the God-man. We are following God, and we could see what God acted like, loved like, forgave like through the person of Jesus Christ. We're not animals. Don't even believe we are. So we act like animals. But we're not animals. And when you come to know Christ, he elevates you to a person, to being a child of God. That's an amazing thing. But if Jesus had not come, you would still be lost. And you would act like animals. Because that's exactly what we do when we don't have Christ. Some people may disagree with me. You see, one of the things that God did in Ecclesiastes, he mentions in Scripture, he says, God has set eternal life into our hearts. We yearn for eternity. There's not a man on this earth, whether believer or unbeliever, wants to live forever. Man hangs on to life, but if he did not come, that could have never been satisfied. At the same time, Jesus reached the dregs of society. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Jesus reached out to people who were drunks one night and saints the next. He reached out to the downtrodden. Jesus taught repentance and said that you can, even though you're a sinner, can turn your life around by believing in me. And thousands and millions of people, every one of us here, have turned our life around when we come to Jesus Christ. But if he had not come, we would not know that. And you would be dead in your trespasses and sin. He reached the lower parts of ranking people. Harlots, murderers, thieves, untouchable poor people, demon-possessed people, people with leprosy. You know, the interesting thing, ask ourselves as a, you know, this, you guys are beautiful. And you really are. Very well, I mean, nice. But how would you respond if some of those type of people showed up in church? Ask yourself that question. Jesus reached the dregs of society. We need to understand that, and it's very, very important. The next thing he did is he lifted the status of women. Now, to which women clap their hands and say, yes, see their husband? God elevated the status of women. They did. Because the conditions of women, when you look back in history and from society to society, they were nothing more than chattel. They were nothing more than slaves, burden bearers. They were a necessary evil because men wanted property and they wanted to raise their crops, and so they needed children, and so the women became their wives. And yes, they worked together, but at times women were looked down upon. Christ changed that. The woman at the well. Wow. Who would want the woman at the well? Interesting. I was pastoring a church. I started a church a long time ago in Minnesota back in the 80s when you never want to go to Minnesota in the winter. But anyway, I will tell you, I remember one of the elders in the church said something to me when people were coming and reaching people, and this one woman, she came to the church and she stayed in the church. But I remember this one pious deacon. I said elder, but deacon. He said, oh, we don't want that kind in our church. And I said, why? Well, she's been married 3 times, and she's just not one of us. Isn't that interesting? You see, the status of women was raised. There's neither Jew or Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's neither male or female. Everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. There is no one above anybody else. We're all saved by the grace of God. But if Jesus had not come, we would not know that. We would not. We would be dead in our trespasses and sin. Another thing that happened is that children became God's prize. Isn't it amazing? Children. Jesus sitting there, and the kids were crawling all over him, and the disciples, get away, and he says, let them come. They're very important to me. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And in one way, many times Jesus basically described us as children, as sheep, we're not what we should be. Children, they were regarded as a burden. However, if you owned a farm, have as many children as you can, because you can put them out there to plant the crops and feed the animals and do all the things, and you can become wealthy through children. I had one friend of mine, his dad was born to 13 in their family. His mother was born to a family of 18. And he had 86 first cousins. Whew. I wouldn't invite them over to my house all at once, I'll tell you that. It would cost too much money. But little children, and yet today, People that don't know Jesus kill children before they're ever born. Today, 500,000 children last year were lost coming over the border, and they were sold into sexual trafficking. Now, you're saying, well, wait a minute, how does that relate to the... Well, because when people are without Christ, they're without conscience. If Jesus had not come, all of us would be like that. We wouldn't be any different. You see, we need to recognize that Jesus' coming caused something different. Then slavery was condemned, by the way. 3/5 of the Roman Empire was in slavery. 40% of the people ruled the other 60% of the people, and they enslaved them, and they had to do all the bidding of the Roman government. The great thing about Christianity is that when the South was fighting in the Civil War, it was in 1862 that many of the evangelicals of the North said, enough's enough, no more slavery. And then Lincoln gave the Emancipation Proclamation. Even he had said one time, he says, we need to save the Union. But then finally he changed his mind. He says, we need to free slaves. And by the way, that's the impetus that caused slavery to be done in America. However, slavery still goes on in the world today. There's a religion in the Middle East that's trying to conquer Israel, that they still practice slavery, and there are more slaves today in the world than ever before. You know, sometimes we as Christians in America are pretty naive. But remember this. Most of our people that came over from this country came over here because of oppression, and they wanted to be someone. And most of them that came were Christians, and they made this country great. But if Jesus had not been resurrected, we wouldn't know that. I tell you, it's very interesting. Man's conscience became more sensitive because of Jesus Christ. Even Cortez, when he went to Mexico, two things that he did. They wanted to conquer and bring gold back to Spain, and there were others that were traveling throughout the world. The English were traveling throughout the world, and so were the Portuguese, and they wanted to make their country great with wealth. But they also sent missionaries, and they wanted the gospel preached. And when Cortez saw Montezuma sacrificing human life, he said, that is enough. Because his religion, his Christianity, would not allow that. And it caused them to defeat the Aztecs. Now, so a lot of people have different stories on that, and historically I understand that, because history is one of my majors. But I will tell you this, slavery is wrong in any occasion. And by the way, Jesus heightened our conscience for what is right and wrong. We're criticized that for as evangelicals, because we believe there's a right and wrong. We believe there's a black and white. We believe there's a righteousness and an unrighteousness. And it all resolves around Jesus Christ and who he is. If Jesus had not come, we would not be sensitive to those things. As we move on, we find that education would not be where it is today. If you examine education, you will find that it is Christians who really brought education to the forefront. Why? Because the Bible needed to be read. And over the centuries, people learned how to read. Why? Because they needed to study the Word of God. And then when we get into just the discovery of our own country, they started universities. There are two reasons they started universities. To teach people how to teach so they could teach others how to read, and to also teach ministers how to preach the Word of God, because that was God's truth. All of the Ivy League schools were started because of Christianity. There are many of our state universities were started because of Christianity. By the way, even science depended upon Christianity. Why? Because they wanted to discover how God created the natural world, and they wanted to study it, and they were studying who God is. The great scientists of yesteryear were born again, Bible-believing Christians. But see, if Christ had not come, I will guarantee you this world would be so changed. We probably wouldn't have even discovered America. Or, and if we did, we would not be where we are today. Once again, because of Christ coming and we becoming children of God, it elevated us to a place that we are special. We are children of God, born again, made holy because of God. But if he had not come, you would not have that honor. You see, so often we need to understand how great the resurrection is. Resurrection is. Christian compassion ministries would not exist. If no resurrection, we wouldn't have been sending missionaries to Africa and to throughout the four corners of the earth. Men such as Hudson Taylor stood on the shores of England and said, I must go to China. I need to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other missionaries went into Africa. Albert Schweitzer, other great missionaries. I have a friend of mine that I discipled years ago, Tom Ward. He is a missionary to Islam. His life's been threatened and everything, but he was so convinced to go there because they needed to know Jesus. And he's led a lot of people to Christ, one of the best missionaries I've ever seen. The only problem is he's getting old like I am. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is knowing Christ, the Christ that is alive, caused us to reach out to people. The resurrection is very important, but people today don't believe in the resurrection. They try to get rid of it. It's almost like if he hadn't come, but I believe he has. You see, expansion would also be different. And governments, they would be different too. Do you realize that our Constitution was based upon what? The Ten Commandments. Do you realize other countries that had Christianity based their Constitution on Christianity and in the Bible? And the ones that got rid of it and didn't want to use Scripture, such as France, they are totally atheistic as a nation. Oh, I know they're Christians over there. But we need to understand. Yeah, we look at this and we need to understand if Christ had not come, we may not even exist today. Because Christ, once again, gave us a conscience and he made us children of God and we changed. In 1 Corinthians 15, the theological differences, the Apostle Paul writes, and I'm just going to go very quickly through them because I need to watch the time and need to make sure you get out of here in time. If Christ was not raised, your faith basically is worthless. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 13, Christ would have been only human and not God. You see, man had to pay for his sin. But only God was perfect. Only God could pay. So being born of a virgin, he took upon the human flesh. It's called the hypostatic union in Philippians 2, 5 through 8 and following. You need to recognize that he became the God-man. Man needed to pay for the sin. Only God was eternal. That's the difference in why he had to come. And he came, he took your sin and my sin. He is the resurrected Christ. Yeah, he would be dead, and those who died would die hopeless. And when we die, we will all also would be hopeless. Number two, preaching the gospel would be worthless. Why preach it? Wow. If he's not risen, what message do we have? If he didn't die for our sin, what message do we have? Nothing. Bible churches try to get you to believe that, but you don't. Number three, faith in Christ would be worthless. To have faith in a God who really isn't God? Why? And that's found in verse 14. So as we move down, number four, it says, all believers would be liars or deceived. Quite frankly, if Christ had not risen, I am a deceived person. Not only that, I would be a liar. And if Christ had not been resurrected, as C.S. Lewis, Jesus Christ was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was who he said he is. We need to recognize that. Another thing in 1 Corinthians, it says, in 15 says in verse 17, all people will be in their sin. You, no matter what would happen, you will be dead in your sin. But Jesus Christ is resurrected and you are totally forgiven. Isn't that something? Isn't that outstanding that we know that we're children of God? We're somebody special? Finally, all past believers who have died would have eternally perished. Or not finally, that's the sixth one. And then number seven, Christians should be pitied. I don't feel pitied. Do you? So what has the resurrection given me? This is my list. I was able to understand who God is. Jesus Christ is the picture of God the Father. Philip said, I haven't seen God. Can I see the Father? And Jesus says, Philip, haven't you learned? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I'm able to experience forgiveness. Have any of you ever made mistakes? Oh, let's don't use that word. How many of you have ever sinned? Is there anybody that didn't sin? Well, there'll be a cross for you to die on. But anyway, I'm now accepted by God the Father. How many of you have had bad fathers and weren't good fathers? You don't need to raise your hands on those. No, seriously, I understand the hurt on that. You may not have had a good father. He may have been a bum. But thank God, God the Father is your Father. And Jesus made that possible. Look to Him. At the same time, the assurance of salvation. You know, one of the great things about being a Christian is that we are saved and we're eternally saved and we cannot lose our salvation. And in John 10, he says, no one, including myself, could take me out of the hands of God. That's called grace. Jesus gives grace. Oh, he didn't compromise himself. To the woman at the well, he says, you've had five husbands. You've sinned. You know it. To the guy that was healed by the pool, he says, go and sin no more. To the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. Now, the great thing is that we as believers have the assurance of salvation because of the cross and because of the resurrection. Another thing, evil is defeated and holiness reigns. And by the way, the devil right now, he's running around the world, but he's already received his death sentence. I've read the last chapter. I can experience and enjoy hope. I have hope. I'm going to tell you something. When you get my age, you hope you have hope. How many are over 70? Don't raise your hand. Look, it's, you can't get your hand up anyway. So, but realistically, we who are getting over even 60, our days are really numbered. But that's okay. Yeah. We need to talk about that. Don't be afraid to talk about that. Hey, I tell my grandkids all the time, I say, next time you see me, I may not be here. I may be in heaven. And they say, Grandpa, cut that out. You're not going to die until you're 100 years old. Oh, I hope so. I hope I die before then. And in all seriousness. I love my grandkids. I really do. And you're going to get tired of me saying that. I have no reason to fear the enemy. Some people are like Snoopy who fights the Red Baron. They get up every morning fighting the Red Baron. He gets on the doghouse and he flies. And he's going to get the Red Baron and he gets blown down. And he says, I'm going to get you again, Red Baron. And too many people look at the devil that way. We got to fight the devil. No. You live for Christ. The resurrected Christ. You don't have to fear the enemy. Oh, yes, he's there. But we need to live for Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? I close with this story. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I cried every time. I mean, I've read it before. I'm not going to read it this time. I'll just give you the message. But I just, there was a kid. His name was Philip. He was 8 years old. Philip was a Down syndrome boy. And his parents understood him, and they understood that it was hard on him. And he had all kinds of other maladies that would eventually take his life early. But he went to church, and he went to a Christian church, and the Sunday school teacher knew and understood, and how to get him accepted with the rest of the kids was interesting. Easter came and gone, and it was a week after Easter. And the teachers brought pantyhose. How many, you remember, girl, ladies, pantyhose? You know what those are? You know, yeah. The men, if you don't know, they're the eggs that are about this big, and you open them up, and there are pantyhose in them. Well, this male teacher got 10 of those eggs, because one for everyone in class, including Philip. And so what happened is, he said, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go outside. It's a bright day. It's a spring day, and our Sunday school class is going to be outside. And I want you to take the egg. It's empty. And I want you to go get something that's life, and I want you to put it, bring it back in and share with you what it means to you to be alive. One girl came back, and she brought a butterfly. Oh, she opened it up. Oh, look at that. Another girl brought flowers. Oh, they're great. And each one brought something, and one boy brought a rock, and they opened it. Oh, why did you bring it? He says, I did it. Why? He says, because I'm a rock. And I'm not like you. And everybody started laughing. Finally, there was one egg left, and the teacher opened it. And there was nothing in it. They said, who did that egg? And Philip said, I did. And the kids were, you know, they didn't really associate with him too much. And they said, why did you do that? Why did you do that? That's so stupid. And he tugged at his teacher's coat. He said, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Well, a short time later, the kids really accepted him in the group. They became close to him, and they loved him. But one summer day, he died. At the funeral, 9 of the kids walked forward with the egg. They opened it up. People, the resurrection of Christ opens up for us. Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
With that, it is yours.